Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to our very first show, Christian Church Online. And you know the Bible passage that talks about a deer panting for the brook. And I know many of you, pant and thirst for the Word of God. So we're going to give you the Word of God. So we want this show to be like a living room Bible study where people can talk like we're just all family. We're going to have atheists calling the show. We're going to have Muslims calling the show. We're going to have Christians calling the show. It's going to be awesome. Now, we're doing it for two reasons. Very simple. Why are we doing this show? And we plan to be on the air for a long time. First reason simply is because we love God. We love God. We want to praise him. We want to glorify him. And the second reason is because we love you. If you're atheist, if you're Hindu, Buddhist, if you're Muslim, we love you. And we want you to know that we may have disagreements, but this is our purpose of this show. And so for the Christians, this will equip you. As you know, we're in a war. The year is 2024. Times are absolutely insane, but at the same time, they're exciting. I know as a Christian, I wake up every day and I'm like, this is just epic. You never know what's going to be on the news. You can just hear the approaching hoofbeats of the apocalypse. So we want to look up and know that our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. So I want to read to you from Scripture. This is a great passage to read at the start of our first show in 2024. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I want to talk about that a bit. You've noticed that in our very, I guess I'd call it the Oprah Winfrey society, we're taught that, well, this person's truth is their truth and your truth is your truth. And we know that this doesn't make sense. Two things that totally are the opposite of each other cannot both be true. So here in this show, we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about objective morality. And so the passage goes on to say, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's begin our Bible study.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into a Bible study. This is very interesting. What I find amazing is that we can read actual letters that Paul had written to the Galatians. This is just amazing. So as you know, there was a man named Saul who was actually murdering Christians. And on the road to Damascus, he sees a blinding light, so blinding that his eyesight temporarily goes away. And he is told by Jesus that it's hard for him to kick against the goads. A goad was like a spur that you would use, like a pointy stick, to get an animal moving. And Jesus appears to Paul on the road to Damascus and says, basically, you're kicking against the spur. You're just hurting yourself. So Saul becomes a major player in the gospel message, and he goes through so many trials. He goes through preaching this gospel, and then some of the people in the church start perverting the gospel of Christ, and so he has to write a letter to them, and we're going to actually see what he tells them. And there's so many valuable pieces of gold nuggets in his writings. Like, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and then he talks about the works of the flesh, how the sinful works of the flesh are always hostile to the works of the Spirit. And he goes through things that are fruits of the Spirit, I should say, things that are fruits of the Spirit versus, you know, the sin in the flesh. So we're going to talk about the letter to the Galatians, but a lot of people do not understand, well, what's this whole letter about? So let's read through this. The Galatians to whom the letter is addressed were Paul's converts, most likely among the descendants of the Celts who invaded Western and Central Asia Minor in the 3rd century BC. Now, what I find interesting, go to this part here. Right here it says, in any case, the new Christians whom Paul is addressing were converts, get this, from paganism. So what the pagans would do, they would even create these little gods. They'd whittle them out of, you know, stone, you know, wood, and then they'd carry these gods around with them. And then the pagans were actually doing child sacrifice. I remember I had a debate with this pagan in one of our debate conference rooms that we were using, and he finally admitted. I go, just admit that you were doing child sacrifice. And he finally admitted that paganism has a very evil history in child sacrifice. But see, these pagans are coming to realize there's not all these gods. You know what's funny about paganism? They'll have one god and he does one thing, and then there's another god and they do one thing. Like, they all specialize, like god of love, god of war, you know, god of happiness, you know, and then you got, you know, the god of death, and it's just a man-made religion. But these pagans, they realize that paganism is false, so they embrace the gospel, but people start trying to get them to move away from the gospel. And notice it says, so the pagans that are now Christians, who were now being enticed by other missionaries to add the observances of the Jewish law, including the rite of circumcision, to the cross of Christ as a means of salvation. So they're saying you need to be circumcised, you need to obey these Jewish laws. And then it says, for since Paul's visit, some other interpretation of Christianity had been brought to these neophytes, probably by converts from Judaism. The name Judaizers is sometimes applied to them. So this is amazing that they get the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now they're trying to change it. You know what I love about these letters is in the secular atheist community, they constantly say, oh, well, the gospel's been changed a million times, and it's not the original message that Paul was speaking of or Jesus was speaking of, but we have the writings there. We have the words that they were speaking of. And, of course, it is true that the gospel was attempted to be changed, and it's still trying to be changed even in 2024. There's always people that will say horrible things like, now homosexuality is not a sin, or no, you can take drugs, you could be smoking pot and you could be taking meth, and we're going to talk about these things. Paul actually talks about these things. So let's get right into Galatians, and this is a very powerful message that Paul has to share. Okay, so we're at Bible Gateway. We're going to start in Galatians 1, of course. So I'm going to kind of jump around, like when he's going through different greetings and things, like he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God, the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. And so certain introductions, I'll skip those. But notice, this is important. He's saying, who raised him from the dead. He's talking about the Father raising the Son from the dead. Right in the beginning of this letter to the Galatians, he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not like they never said Jesus resurrected and then it's a myth, and then later on down the line, like 100 years later, they start saying that Jesus resurrected. Immediately they saw Jesus resurrected, they were proclaiming Jesus was resurrected. Over 500 people, just the men alone, saw Jesus resurrect. And after his resurrection, Jesus actually fellowshipped with them, and it was like 40 days he was there with them. It's not like he just resurrected instantly and then he ascended to heaven. He was on earth for quite a long time. If you add up the hours within 30 days, 40 days, there's a lot of hours, and you could see why Christianity exploded. But let's get back to this. He starts off with the main thing, Jesus resurrected from the dead. But now he says, he's like shocked. He's like, I marvel, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So you see, he's preaching the same gospel. He's keeping them on track. He says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, isn't this totally different than our mamby-pamby, limp-wristed 2024? In the year 2024, it's the Oprah generation. Well, look, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and people say these very foolish things. Paul says, look, Jesus raised from the dead. By grace we are saved. If anyone brings any other opposing message to this, notice he doesn't say, well, that's their truth. He says, no, let him be accursed. Ah, the good old days of objective morality. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, watch this. Some people will say that Peter and Paul had a different message. This is not true. Look at this. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. Who is this Peter? This is Peter that walked with Jesus Christ, the original disciple. Notice, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I mean, this is just amazing that Paul meets Peter and even the brother of Jesus Christ, the most famous person, God incarnate in the flesh, the most famous person in world history, and Paul's meeting Peter and James, Jesus' brother. He says, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. He's like, what I'm telling you is the truth. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God in me. So what were they saying? Remember, we were talking about how Paul was basically murdering Christians. You know, he was really a bad person, but he has this dramatic conversion, and he realizes that he's wrong and that Jesus Christ is the answer. So now we're going to go to where Paul talks about Christian liberty. And he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. This is interesting. So he's basically talking to these people who think they're Christians, but rather than putting their hope, faith, and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they're putting their hope, faith, and trust in the law, which condemns them. And it condemns everybody because all have fallen short of God's law. So these people, by all intents and purposes, think they're saved, but they're not. Look what Paul says. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Now, have you ever known people that they were Christians and they were really into the word? They would raise their hands at church. They'd be right up there towards the front of the worship band. And then all of a sudden, they fall away. It's a weird thing. They go back into the world. Notice, even in another writing of Paul, he talks about there's a Christian that's traveling with him, and he says that this person has forsaken him and has gone back into the world. There's an actual Christian believer that was, you know, walking with Paul, and he basically stabs Paul and Jesus in the back and goes right back into the world. And you can read about this in his letters. Now, Paul says, look, you ran well, like you were doing so good. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Like, you know, who made you fall away from the truth of the gospel? And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. only, now this is, oh my gosh, what an amazing passage. This is a major issue in the Christian church today. We've all been called to liberty. But look what Paul says. He's like, but don't use that as an excuse to sin. This is great. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. What does he mean, opportunity of the flesh? He's going to talk about that in this next paragraph. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now, what does he mean when he says, you know, you have this liberty, but he says, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Well, you know how some people say, well, I'm Christian, and they just use that to go out and do really whatever they want. Now, let's not be confused here. That's not, we're not talking about the law, you know, circumcision and the Jewish laws. What he's talking about is sin and doing things in the flesh. Let me just let him say it. He says it so much better. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I'm going to talk about this. This is really good what he's saying. And these are, notice, contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Whoa. This is completely opposite of what the LGBTQ plus community said. What they say is, I have these feelings, and this is what I want to do, and so because I have these feelings, I must embrace these feelings. Sort of like the alcoholic that says, look, I feel like I need to drink. I need to drink until I pass out, and why would God give me the feelings that I need to drink if it's not good? This is so stupid. But this is the stupidity of the LGBTQ plus community. Notice, they don't understand that what Paul says, they're contrary to one another. The flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. He says, so that you do not do things that you wish. What? See, in America, we talk about freedom. We embrace our freedom and our liberty. We even have a Statue of Liberty, right? But you remember what Paul says. Don't use our liberty for an excuse. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, what does he mean, the works of the flesh? He's got a whole list here. And what does he mean, the works of the Spirit? I mean, the fruits of the Spirit, excuse me. I keep saying that. Fruits of the Spirit, works of the flesh. So what are the works of the flesh? He said the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. And when you read deeply into this, this is like drug use. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. Like, you just can't control your temper and you're upset at everybody. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. Interesting. Drunkenness. Revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, you sitting down, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the key phrase here? Let's see if you get this. I know you're going to get this. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, it's important to know that it says will not inherit the kingdom of God. What word are we looking for? You got it. Practice. Practice. What do you do when you're practicing? You're doing it over and over and over again. This is all the negativity. We don't want to focus on that. Let's go to the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is, I need you guys to pray for me, that self-control. I get so angry at these stupid atheists saying stupid stuff. I have no respect for stupidity. Pray for me on the self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Interesting. So just go to Galatians. This is great. Galatians 5:16, or just read all of Galatians, but from Galatians 5:16, it goes through the lust of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I got it right that time. Now, you know what's interesting? He's talking about flesh and spirit, and he's saying that they're warring against each other. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. This is why you will see where Jesus, he goes out and he's basically fasting. He's in the spirit. And you'll see people that will fast, or remember they'll put on, when they're praying and they're really praying for God to intervene, they'll put on sackcloth and ashes. It's like a, you know, not being comforted in the flesh. Just amazing. But I want to show you one more thing, and Happy New Year, you guys. Check this out. So, especially right now in the political season that we're in, you know, do you remember when Hillary Clinton was running for president and she put a lot of emphasis on being a woman? You know, what's more exciting than the first woman president? And then, of course, thank God she didn't make it. But then you have like the feminist movement. And you'll have a tremendous amount of movements focusing on gender where they're like obsessed with it. But it's interesting that this is all contrary to Christianity. What do I mean? Look what Paul says everyone should be focused on. And I know if you're a Christian, you know this, so I'm preaching to the choir. But I just find the contrast, what Paul says and what the world's doing, totally different. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek," watch this, "there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So notice, they don't, the letters that Paul's writing, they don't really say to focus on, oh, you're a, because in that culture, men ruled everything, you know. But notice, you're not going to focus on if you're Jew or a Greek or if you're a male or a female. We focus what? We're all one in Christ. Notice, this is where the focus is, Christ Jesus. That's what I love about Christianity. It's so unusual in a good way. Here in our world where everyone is focused on the inward and on the person and on different movements, you know, pro-abortion, you know, or they want to be a feminist or, you know, all these different movements. In Christianity, everything is focused. We're all one. We're all on the same team. We're all one, and we're all one in Christ Jesus. That is awesome. And in a beautiful way, you and I and the rest of our Christian brothers and sisters, this is how we glorify Christ. Remember what Jesus said, they'll know you're our disciples. They'll know you're my disciples, excuse me, by your love for one another. And I love that. This is spiritual right here. This is not something in the natural world that comes naturally. When everyone is one in Jesus Christ, it's just awesome. So God bless you guys. I love you. Happy New Year. It's going to be a great New Year. I mean, isn't it an amazing time that we live in? We just turn on the news and there's always something happening, like day by day by day. In Revelation, it talks about that. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And now, like just last night, I pulled up, you know, Fox News, and they were talking about how Turkey just invaded different targets in Iraq. And then you got Russia and Ukraine. You have China that basically just told Biden, yeah, look, we're going to reunify Taiwan, which means they're going to attack Taiwan. They just told them, you know, outright. And then you have Biden, as of now, January 14th, when I'm doing this video, 2024, Biden's president. And Biden said, look, we don't agree that Taiwan should be free. This is just amazing to me that in America, where we're supposed to promote democracy and freedom, that, you know, Biden has taken the communist China side. But such are these times. I could hear the hoofbeats of the apocalypse coming already at the door. So God bless you guys. It's going to be a very exciting year, and Happy New Year.